teacher came out to the stage. And the students sat forward, rapt with attention. What would this marvelous teacher say? It was always worthwhile to be with this teacher. And they waited to see, what would he share? And as he came out, he looked across the audience, looked at all his beloved students, and he said, "Each of you is absolutely perfect the way you are. And each of you could be just a little bit better. You're perfect, and maybe you could be a little bit better." Suzuki Roshi said that to his students a number of years ago. And when I read it, I knew it was just the absolute truth for me. And that there was something in this teaching for me to live. And what I found was, it's this teaching of the absolute and the relative. We teach that here. We call it many different things. You might call it the divine and the human. That which is unchanging and that which is changing. God never changes, the absolute of God. And our human experience is filled with change, Charles. What a perfect song that things are always changing. Our experience of the divine is always changing. You're different now than even when you walked in the door. Yet the principles that we teach are the same. It's just our understanding of them that changes. And we have a core teaching in Unity called the Five Principles. That's how we take all that we know and boil it down as best we can into five concrete, livable principles that we can take with us. And I'm going to ask you right now to turn to a few people around you and see how much you already know about the five principles of Unity. And if you don't have any idea, make it up. Guess, if you got to make up your own religion, what would be the five things at the top of the list? So turn to two, three, four people around you. Take just a couple of minutes. Do you know any principles? What do you think ours are? Who thinks they can tell me succinctly what the first principle is, nice and loud? Anybody? What's the first principle? You know you've got it, quick. God is good. I hear that from just about everybody. God is good. All right, number two. I am good. I am the Christ. The God is within me. Number three. I co-create. What do you say? I create my experience, I co-create. We got a little less enthusiastic on that one, did you notice? We're really really solid on those first two. We're getting, okay. Number three, we co-create. Number four?
Prayer.
Okay, this side now needs to be quiet. Prayer. Fifth.
Move your feet.
Love. Move your feet. Okay, so now we were really excited and sure about those first two, and then we kind of dropped it, but we basically have it. I heard them all here. Anyone come up with something that we didn't say that you like better? No? No?
Practice the first four principles.
Practice the first four principles. All right. What, take the show on the road? All right, so quickly, the five principles are the presence of God, the goodness of God. However, you could spend a sermon on each one of these separately, but we shorthand that to say God is. I am the presence of God in me. I am God expressing. And then I think, I pray, I do. So the first two are about what we believe, our cosmology of what is it that God and we are, how we relate, and then it's how you live it. So I am co-creating through the thoughts that I think, and prayer is the most powerful form of thought, and it's not enough to know all of these things, I live them and I do them. Those are the five principles of unity. What do you think? We like them? Okay. We like them? Anybody not like them? Or, I see a hand. Why do you not? Oh no, are you waving at a friend? Woo, phew, okay, no. Anybody find them lacking at all? Any other thoughts on that? Anybody? Not too brave, I'm not gonna say anything. They're just fine. And you know what, they are just fine. And I lived my life according to those as best I can for a long time. And yet I found that I was still struggling with life. Anyone here still struggling? You got these great principles. You've got the answers to everything. Why are you still struggling? What are you doing wrong? I don't know, anybody ever have that thought? I must be doing something wrong because I'm still having these challenges, but I know that God is here and I'm perfect and everybody's perfect and something's still going wrong here. And I said to my licensed teacher one day years ago, what if I'm doing it wrong? And she said, oh no, you're doing it right. And that was really comforting, and that made me feel good that I shouldn't be feeling guilty, but something was missing for me. And then years later, Robert Brummett came to my church, Reverend Robert Brummett from Unity. And he is also a practicing Buddhist. And he talked to us about meditation, of course, and I got really excited about how he was living his life. He somehow had taken the Unity principles even deeper than I had experienced. And so I started studying Buddhism. And I ran smack dab into the first noble truth of Buddhism. Anybody know what that is? Suffering. Life is suffering. Not the best translation, but life is suffering. Yeah, that sounds great. I want to sign up for that religion. So as soon as I saw that, I ran the other way. Why would anyone want to be part of this religion that starts with that? I had a friend one time who was really deep into the Course in Miracles, and he told me that he was really getting into his muck. And I'm like, oh, I'm in Unity. We don't have to go through the muck. I literally said that. I literally thought, because I was in Unity and everything was good, that I didn't need to go through any tough times, so clearly I was still doing something wrong. And then I read Pema Chodron's words. And she said in her book, When Things Fall Apart, what a great title for a book. Like, really? She said, we think the point is to pass the test or overcome the problem. But the thing is, things don't really get solved. They come together and they fall apart. And they come together and they fall apart. It's just like that. And then she says, the first noble truth is that when we feel suffering, it doesn't mean that something is wrong. What a relief. Finally, somebody told the truth. Suffering is part of life, and we don't have to feel it's happening because we personally made the wrong move. Wow, that was it for me. She told the truth that I needed to hear, that I wasn't a failure, that things do happen in life. And here was a system of belief that allowed for that and said, not only is it gonna happen, but it's okay and it's expected, and we start with that. It's not just the first truth, it's the first noble truth. And while at first it seems very negative, it seems like something I want to run from. No, I don't want life to have suffering. I want unicorns and puppy dogs and rainbows and candy hearts that they don't make anymore. That's what I wanted. But I found out that by expanding it to allow for everything, that was the compassionate thing to do. That actually this teaching of suffering is so loving. Because then you could just take off all that guilt and all that judgment. Even Charles Fillmore says that if a prayer is not working, it is somehow the misapplication of the teaching. And when I did a search through Charles Fillmore's complete works online, I didn't read them all like that, but I went online and I searched through them all. How many times do you think the word compassion is used? Not a lot. Zero. I didn't find one result on the word compassion. Now, I believe it's in there. There are many ways to describe compassion. The way that I personally love it was taught to me by a Buddhist monk, Bhante Vimala, that compassion is having dealt enough with your own suffering that you can be there for another when they suffer. Isn't that beautiful? For a long time, I thought suffering meant being able to feel it with the other person. But what does that lead to? That leads to me back into my suffering, and now it's not about you, it's about me. So it's having dealt with your muck enough to be able to sit with someone else. And this is a time, every time is, but what a time for compassion in this world. Theologian Karen Armstrong talks about the fact that she has a compassion project and that institutionalized religion is not incredibly helpful for her. She found that they weren't really that supportive of the compassionate project. They have compassionate language and doctrine, but we're not actually living it. And when I look around, everyone now wants to be a victim. When we hear a story about someone, instead of going to compassion to be with them, we want to make it about us now. The opposite of compassion. And as we celebrate Black History Month this month, as a white person, the first thing that I try to do when any time I engage in the topic of race is just to go to compassion. I cannot completely understand anyone else's experience. But white people saying, well, let me tell you about my experience. It's really rough being a privileged white person. And let me tell you how. It separates us. And yes, white people have suffering. Everyone has suffering. But the point is, let me be there with you and yours. When I can do that, I've opened up this channel that gets me out of myself, and it's such an important teaching that I think it needs to be overt in our teaching. While it's there, you have to dig for it, you have to root around, we may call it some other things. I found that I needed to bring it forth primarily for me. I needed self-compassion. And so what happened was, I took my two teachings. I took my Jesus. This is crazy, Jesus. I don't know why his hair is this way, but I think it's hilarious, and I love it. So this is crazy Jesus, and he represents my unity teaching, you know, whatever your personal relationship is and we all have a different relationship with this master teacher. But here we have Jesus, and of course he taught compassion. It was compassion that drove him to feed the masses. It was compassion that we read in the Testament that he felt compassion for the blind men and he cured them. Compassion, compassion. And so what I discovered, though, was I needed another guy. So I got this guy. So I added a little bit of Buddhism to my practice. Well, actually, I added a lot of Buddhism to my practice because it worked and it took me deeper and it strengthened what I have. But I'm always this as well. I never leave this teaching, but I bring them together and they work really well together, just like these little guys here. And what I found was, okay, unity's first principle is God is good everywhere present. And the first noble truth over here is life is suffering. They seem really far apart. But when you dig into each of their teachings, really, yes, God is good. And in this relative world, we may not always know what to do with that. So we pray and we use our thoughts. And the Buddha talks about there is a way out of suffering. There is the eightfold path. There is love, compassion, joy, and equanimity to the point that they're both saying the same thing. They just start at the absolute or the relative. And we need them both. We need the absolute purity of what we know is true. We need to know that God is good everywhere present. And we need to know that it's in other people, or my gosh, we lose hope. But then we also need to honor, don't we, this human experience. And instead of calling it bad or wrong or a failure, what if it's exactly perfect, that it was meant to be as well? The absolute and the relative, we need them both. Or what will happen is we will start doing what we call the spiritual bypass. Ah, there's a problem. I don't see it, do you? No, it can't possibly cause me any trouble until it hits me upside the head. The spiritual bypass. We want to get around the pain. That's what I wanted to do with the muck. I don't have to go through the muck. I just get to take a spiritual bypass because I know some wonderful affirmations that my church has taught me, and that's all I need. And I saw that with a friend of mine years ago. She had a lot of trouble in her family, and it was always this child and that ex-husband and this and that. And there was always something going on, but she was quite positive. She had great affirmations. And she would say to me, I'd say, how is it going? And she'd say, I'm moving on through. And I thought, gee, that's really wonderful. She's moving on through those problems. And then the next year, she's moving on through. And the next year, she's moving on through. And she just keeps moving on through, but she's not really getting anywhere. She seems to be kind of moving in circles here. And so finally I said to her one day, maybe instead of moving on through, you need to stop where you are and see what's really going on. Maybe it's okay to sit in the muck sometimes. Don't pitch a tent, don't decide that we're going to live there, but to acknowledge where things are going off the rails for ourselves and maybe look a little deeper into what might be going on there to be able to it. You can do that with anything in your life, relationships, and you look at, what are the thoughts that I'm holding? Where might this suffering be coming from? Could it be the collective that is more influencing me? Because we are influenced by things around us. And so what I found is that I needed this sixth principle of unity. We have these beautiful five principles which are pretty much about the absolute experience. And so I've added to my practice the sixth principle that sometimes life doesn't go the way that I want it, and that's okay. I simply come back and remember the five principles. Thank you. And so I shorthand that to I remember. God is, I am, I think, I pray, I do, I remember. And that brings in for me acknowledging the relative experience. You could also call it, I suffer and then remember. And so I've gotten comfortable with that word suffering because my friend Pema told me, it doesn't mean that I failed. And so what I have found is that it's a more compassionate way to live my unity teachings. And actually, the sixth principle is really sort of principle zero for me. That whatever I'm experiencing, the first thing I do is meet it with compassion. I meet myself with compassion, I meet the other with compassion, and I say, what if I didn't fight this to begin with, but just meet it where it is and honor it, and then see where I need to go from there. I honor the human in me that experiences something. And it doesn't matter where you start, whether you start with one or six or three, all of our principles are beautiful. And I wonder, as you go about living these principles, the world calls us to live more and more. Maybe you'll find what I did, that maybe adding just a little bit of Buddhism to unity makes it just a little bit better. Namaste. Sending love to myself. And this Valentine's week, reminders of love all around me. I take time for love within me. I feel appreciation for all that I am, the parts I enjoy, the parts that challenge me. Let me love it all right now. Love for myself. I move from the thought of love to the feeling of love. Drift away and I notice simply how I feel, this body working, such a blessing. And then I even let the feeling go, simply to experience love. To this room. Love for everyone in this room. And then I see it ripple out beyond the walls to the entire city. People who will never know, I am simply sending you love. And to all beings everywhere, may you know love. May you be free from suffering. May you know happiness. For myself and all beings, I now rest in love, in the silence. May I be happy. May I be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May I know the presence of God in every moment. May I know my own divinity in all things. And so it is.